Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
Welcome back to Greenside, the IGA podcast, as we continue our conversation with Iowa Golf Hall of Fame member Gene Elliott. If you haven't listened to part one, throw the cart in reverse, get back there, listen to it, and then come back. Fast forward a little bit, 2016, you got into the U.S. Senior Open. What was that like for you?
Yeah, that was a neat experience. We played a practice round with Tom Watson, which was pretty cool. He was very gracious to all of us. I didn't play very well. I had a nice pairing. I was paired with Lonnie Nielsen, who was also a Iowa guy and a right. University of Iowa graduate, and Dr. Gil Morgan was our other.
Okay. Yeah.
None of us played very well. And I wasn't in control, that week. I think I missed the cut by four or five or something, but, it was a good experience. I get redemption this year in the U.S.
Right.
Senior Open.
That's right.
So I'm looking forward to playing in my second U.S. Senior Open. And I think I've played in, three British Senior Opens now. So, I think I'm more prepared, more ready, for this year's. So, hopefully things will go better.
You kind of led me into my next question, Gene. You said you played in three British Senior Opens. How do they compare? How are they different between the two, the U.S. and the British?
Not a lot of difference other than probably the golf courses. Mm-hmm. One of the thrills of my life was qualifying for the British Senior Open at the Old Course at St. Andrews.
Right.
I'll never forget. I just kept telling my wife and myself, I said, this is just another golf tournament. It's just because it's at the Old Course and, old Tom Morris and the RNA and all that stuff. Let's just pretend like it's just anywhere else. I hit my tee shot on the first hole and I walked down the fairway and I looked over at 18 green and the Valley of Sin there and the Swilkin right. Bridge and all that. And tears started running down my face and I'm like, oh, I can try and push it out all I want, but this is something pretty special. And
exactly.
I played senior opens there and then at Lytham and then at Sunningdale and the golf's over there is a little bit different, but you still have all the superstars and Jim Furyk and Darren Clark and Colin Montgomery and all the guys that are winning on the Champions Tour. They're all there. So it's a special event. And at Lytham, I was lucky enough, made the cut and was low amateur and got to be on the 18th green with Bernhard Langer, who won at Lytham. And mm-hmm. That was a special experience. I've enjoyed it a lot over there now I get a chance to hopefully play in both of them this year.
We mentioned it earlier, pretty special 2021 for you, Gene. Won both the British Senior Amateur and the U.S. Senior Amateur. Before we kind of dig into both those, do those accomplishments, does it ever really fully sink in, would you say? I mean, do you still kind of pinch yourself even now?
I absolutely, my wife and I both look at each other and go, did that really all happen? We were supposed to go over to England with my good friend David Nelson, and the right. three of us kind of going to travel together, with the quarantining and the travel restrictions and the testing and everything, and the night before we were supposed to leave, he tested positive for COVID. And we were in the car talking to Dave and he was very upset. And we hung up with him and I looked at Delana and I said, should we really be doing this? And she said, let's do it. Let's go. And I'm like, okay, I got her full blessing.
Off and running. Yep.
And, you know, 5 days in a hotel in London. And then we took off north about 4 hours up to Ganton and tried to get ready in a day and a half to play a senior major. So it's an unusual experience. That's for sure.
Kind of just, I guess, walk me through that, the British senior.
Well, the British senior stroke play, 72 holes. And so it's just, you know, it was, I was a little rusty. You know, I mean, we only left the hotel to during quarantining to go get tested. And, you know, I swung an 8-iron inside the room a few times and hit a few putts, but, you know, that's not preparation for a golf tournament. And, so I kind of started the tournament out slow and was coming from behind the whole way. But after two rounds, I said, Gant's a tough golf course. 11 over par won the tournament, I think in 2014 or 2015. And so I knew, you know, the scores weren't going to be real low, but I figured the last 2 days, if I could shoot 70 both days, one under par each day, I had a good chance to win. It ended up, that's exactly what I shot. But the last day I'm one behind the guy I'm playing with. And, the first hole I make birdie, he makes double bogey. So a 3-shot swing on the first hole, which was big. Sure. And then the third hole, they moved the tee up. So it was a drivable par 4, and I hit it on the green and knocked the putt in for eagle. So I'm 3 under through 3 holes. And he's basically already out of the picture. And I, you know, I said to myself, this is my tournament to win. I never looked at a leaderboard or looked on my phone to where we stood, but I knew I was ahead. And as long as I kept the ship straight up, you know, I'd win this golf tournament. I birdied the 10th hole to go 4 under for the day. And I said, hey, we can just par in and we got this thing wrapped up. Well, that's easier said than done. And the last 4 holes again are the toughest stretch of holes on the golf course. But I bogeyed the 14th hole. It was just a little dinky hole and I just made a sloppy bogey. I was lucky to bogey the 15th hole. I had to get it up down for bogey. So I've given 2 shots back. The 16th hole, I missed the green by 3 feet. I was sitting on bare dirt. It was a really bad break. I couldn't really chip it normal. And I made another bogey. So now I'm in trouble. I've gone from 4 under for the day to 1 under. And the 17th hole's a 235-yard par 3 with bunkers all the way around the green. And I blocked a hybrid to the right. I hit a really good chip shot to about 12 feet. And my wife's cleaning my ball and she's looking at her phone. And she gives me my ball back and she says, you need to make this. And I went, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I've really messed this up. And so I hit the best putt I hit all week and I knocked it right in the middle and we go to the 18th tee and I looked at her. I said, okay, where are we? Where do we stand? And she said, you got a 1-shot lead. I said, okay, good. Thank goodness. So my playing partner and I hit it in the middle of the fairway. He's out. He's the first to play. He's not. I got a 1-shot lead on the guy in the group ahead of me.
Okay.
And so I look up at the green and I can see there's some commotion to the right of the green by the sand trap. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh, something's going on. Well, I look over at my playing partner. He doesn't see anything. And then all of a sudden a guy runs out in the middle of the 18th green with his hands straight up in the air for us to stop. And my playing partner is over the golf ball and this guy's in the middle of the green. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, and I look at the RNA guys that are officiating our group and they're moving towards my playing competitor, but they're not saying anything. And I just go, something's going on. And I just yell, stop. And the guy kind of jumps away from his ball and looks at me. And the RNA guy goes, thank you. He said, a gentleman has collapsed in the bunker and he's not moving.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. The guy says, we're going to be here a while. I'm like, oh. I said, is he okay? He said, he's not moving. There's a guy laying in the bunker and he's not moving. I'm like, oh, my God, he's had a heart attack. He's going to die in the middle of the tournament here.
Yeah.
And the RNA guys, you know, can we get you something to drink? Can we get you something to eat? You know, I'm like, no, I'm fine. And I'm just trying to stay focused.
I'm saying
a little prayer for the guy and hoping everything's okay. And after about 15 minutes, they said that the gentleman is now moving. They're getting a stretcher to, you know, take him to the hospital. And so after about 25 minutes, the guy had left and they took care of him and they said, okay, it's time to play away. And I just kept trying to stay in the same mindset I had all day long.
Sure.
And the pin was tucked on the right side of the green near that bunker. And I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm hitting it to the middle of the green and two putt. And that's exactly what I did. I hit it about 20 feet left of the hole, putted it down to 6 inches and tapped it in for the win. And that was thrilling. It was thrilling to, you know, I had lost a playoff in 2019 at North Berwick in the British Senior Am. I'd finished third the year before that. And then the year before that, I'd finished tied for second. So I'd played three British Senior Ams in the top three, but hadn't won. And finally I got it done. And it was thrilling. And then a couple hours later, we were still at the course and having a few sodas there. And the gentleman came back from the hospital that had collapsed and he just fainted. He got overheated or something and he fainted and he was fine. And he came back to apologize to me. And
oh,
I said, sir, you don't have to apologize. I'm glad you're still alive.
That's so, right. Put things in perspective. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Right. Sure. So, it was thrilling, to get an RNA event and I just you talk about pinching yourself that whole time in England. We're still pinching ourselves.
Well, and then come back and go to Detroit for the U.S. Senior Am. Gene, can you kind of talk about maybe kind of going into that tournament? Was it, you know, coming off the British Senior? Did you feel like that was a, you know, kind of an added pressure, or was it more of, hey, I can just kind of show up and play and kind of let what happens in a way, almost kind of more carefree?
Yeah, I after the British Senior Am, we went to Sunningdale and played the British Senior Open. I made the cut. I wasn't low amateur. One other amateur made it, and he beat me by a shot. But, you know, so I played well. Mm-hmm. Got home. I went and saw Kenny Shaw, my instructor, my swing coach, and he changed just a couple little things he saw, and we played the Iowa Senior Am down at the Preserve, and Mike McCoy won. I finished third, I think, and then we were off to Detroit for the U.S. Senior Amateur, and I felt like things were coming, coming together a little better. I just felt like I was. Kenny gave me just a little pointer that kind of helped, and. I said, I've won a few matches in the U.S. Senior Am before, but I hadn't gotten very deep into the tournament. And you've won the British Senior Am, you know, you got nothing to lose. Let's just go, you know, have fun as best you can and see what happens. I qualified, I don't know, mid 20s or something, 26-8 or something for match play, and I didn't pay a lot of attention to the brackets. I knew that if I won my first match, Mike and I were going to have to play each other, which is never we'd like to play each other farther into the tournament.
Right, exactly.
Early on, but yeah. That's the way it was. And, you know, Mike and I had a heck of a match. Both of us played well, and we were tied going to 18, a back left pin position on 18, and I tried to get at that pin, and I was a yard too far left, and it went down into a deep bunker, and I couldn't get cute with the bunker shot. I just had to take my medicine and hit it 15 feet, and he putted it up from 30 feet to gimme range, and so I had a 15 footer to extend the match, and I never once thought about missing that putt. I poured it right in the middle, and we went to the first extra hole, and I hit a driver and an 8-iron to a foot, and won the match. So, you know, that was big getting by Mike. Mike's, you know, mm-hmm. he's one of the best, you know, seniors in the world. So then, you know, my afternoon match is no slouch either. 2013, I think, U.S. Senior Amateur Champion Doug Hansel.
Yeah, doesn't get any easier, does it?
Yeah, and Doug and I have battled many places around the country, you know, somehow I got by him one up, so now we're into the, I guess, quarterfinals. So Delana and I and my caddy Adam, we kind of had our little routine going. We're kind of living in our own little bubble, and we ate at the same restaurant every night, an Italian place, and we just kind of kept the same routine every single day. And I played a Michigan local guy there in the quarterfinals, and you know, I could tell he was a little bit nervous in the match starting out, and I got up on him and just kind of never let him get back in the match. I didn't beat him bad or anything, but I think I won 3-2 or 2-1 or something. And mm-hmm. And then I had Craig Davis in the semifinals, and Craig and I go back to North Berwick in 2019 at the British Senior Amateur.
Right.
He's who beat me in a playoff. We went three holes in a playoff at North Berwick, and he birdied the third hole to win the British Senior 2019. So, you know, I knew I had a tough guy to play, and I went out. That's probably the best I played all week, was that match. And I beat him 5-4, and I think we shook hands on the 14th hole, and he looked at me, he said, "Geez, you saved your best match for me." He said, "You were 6 under par through 14 and I had no idea I was 6 under through 14. Yeah. So then, hey, the next day and next morning, we're going to be in the finals of a USGA championship. And, you know, I was nervous. You know, this is stuff you dream of. You don't get many opportunities like this. And, I think our tee time was 8:30 the next morning. And so it was an early morning getting ready and getting going. And we get to the first tee. It was kind of a little chilly morning that morning, and the wind was blowing a little bit. And, they had the trophy on the first tee, and there's a member of the executive committee. He starts reading off all the things, the exemptions and things that the winner's going to get. And I'm trying to stay focused. Forget about all that stuff. Forget about winning or anything. Right. Just be happy you're here.
Right.
Just, you know, keep it simple. And, a friend of mine, Ned Zacker from New York, had sent me a text to say, just keep it simple. And I kept trying to do that, but it's just, you know, it's something, you know, I was an honor to be in the final match. And I mean, I had tears in my eyes on the first tee, and walking down the first fairway, I had tears in my eyes. I said, you know, you got to get yourself together here. You know, you got a match to play.
Yeah, right. Right.
And I felt like I was playing well. And, but you know, you never know how these things are going to go. And, Jerry Gunthorpe, my opponent's a local Michigan guy, lives about 40 miles from there. And he had 150, 200 people following him. And I had about four. And so I, you know, he didn't hit a very good drive on one, and he left his second shot short of the green, and he chipped it up to about 15 feet. And I, you know, I had it in there about 20 feet. I putted it up, he gave it to me. And so now he's got a 15 footer for par. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to win this hole, and we're just going to steamroll this guy. We're going to make a bunch of birdies, and we're just going to, and he knocked that 15 footer in on the first hole, like it was just an average Saturday morning. Uh-huh. And I thought, uh-oh, this guy's got some, I'd played with Jerry before, but, and I knew he was a good player and he's got a good golf swing. And I thought, uh-oh, this guy's ready to play. And he was. And I just could never get up on the guy. I bogeyed the second hole and he went one up, and we tied the third hole with birdies. And I just, I'd tie him and then get one behind, and I'd tie him and I'd get one behind. And I just couldn't, you know, and the whole crowd is in favor of him. And we get to the 16th hole and we're tied. And it's a nice par three with a green that slopes, a lot of slope on the green. And he's in with three, and I got a 2.5 footer for three. And it was a side hill breaking putt. And I hit a bad putt and missed the putt. And he goes one up with two to go. And I went across the 17th tee and stood in some fescue by myself. And I actually had a little meeting. I said, we're going to have a little meeting here. Mm-hmm. And I said, that was really bad what happened, but that's not, doesn't mean it's over.
That's right.
I said, Tom Watson missed a one footer, the final round of the U.S. Open on like the sixth hole. Nobody even knows that he did that. And at Pebble Beach, I remember reading about this. And I said, you know, you can do bad things can happen and you can still win a match. And I thought, I have got to hit these next two fairways. If I hit these next two fairways, I can still, you know, somehow come out on top, whether it goes extra holes or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, at that point I'd have been thrilled with extra holes. So anyhow, he got up and hit it in the right rough behind a tree. And I hit it in the fairway. He ended up, he was a long ways from the green on it was a par five and on his third shot, and he hit it to 60 feet and three putted. So, hey, it's a brand new ball game. We're going to the 18th hole all tied. And 18th hole is a really good hole. I hit a good drive. There's bunkers right and left off the tee, and I hit it right down the fairway. He hit it in the right rough. It was a pin tucked right over the right bunker, and I said, I'm not fooling with that pin. I hit it right in the middle of the green. Well, he hit his shot, and the crowd just screamed and, you know, applauded, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's hit a great shot, and I'm walking up to the green looking, trying to see his ball. And I'm like, I don't see a ball. I wonder. And I could see a ball mark right on the back edge of the green. And I thought, he caught a flyer and he flew the green. Well, now he's got a downhill chip that breaks like 15 feet and difficult, delicate shot. And he hit a pretty good shot to 10, 12 feet. And I had it 30 feet. And I putted it down to gimme range. He gave it to me. So now he's got to make this putt to continue the match, and he missed the putt. And I'm like, it was like total shock. I was like, it's over. Yeah. You know,
first time you led all day. First time you led.
First time I had a one up lead, and it's the 18th hole, and it was just like, did I win? I mean, is this real? I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. And,
sure.
You know, I mean, it was just. Unbelievable, just unbelievable. I never thought about, hey, you could win both tournaments in the same year. None of that was in my mind. It was just, I was just trying to get through each match one at a time, hole by hole, stayed in our routine. You know, my caddy, Adam Hansen, from Seminole, was a big help to have him just telling me to, you know, stay calm and breathe. He says, you're not breathing. You need to breathe more. Somehow things worked out. The finals was on September 2nd last year. And here we are in March, and I'm still pinching myself. So, we we jumped in the car after everything, the awards ceremonies, and we took off for Des Moines, and we thought, well, we'll drive halfway. And my wife Delana spent 4 hours returning text messages for me of all the people that were sending notes to congratulate me. Sure. And stuff. We were just so wired. We couldn't stop. We got home about 1:30 in the morning, and I mean, I couldn't really even sleep. And
sure.
At 8:30 the next morning, Jim Nugent from Global Golf Post calls me up, and I'm like, huh, that's kind of funny. He's calling me right away after.
Yeah, the right.
And I mean, geez, I just, you know, and he talked small talk for a little bit, and he says, Gene, I got something to tell you. And I said, what's that? He said, we have voted that you're going to be the player, Global Golf Post Player of the Year. I go, oh, okay. I'm thinking, you know, Senior Player of the Year. He goes, no. He goes, I don't mean Senior Player of the Year. I says, you are the Men's Player of the Year. And my tears welled up in my eyes again. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. He goes, nope. He goes, what you've done is something very special. Okay. He says, and I'm just like, holy cow. I said, what's going on here? Is this
real? You know, it's kind of like, one after
when
another.
When am I going to wake up? You know,
right.
It's crazy stuff. So, been, you know, extremely fortunate in this game, and takes 59 years to win a USGA event. That's rare company. Sure. And I'm just very, very proud, but very humbled by it all. It's a little overwhelming, actually.
Our season's is almost here, Gene, here in Iowa. We've got the IGA four ball and our Iowa Mid-Am where you're going to be defending. Are you going to be playing in both of those?
Yep. Those work out good. Looking forward to both of those. And unfortunately, I probably won't play much besides that in Iowa.
Okay.
The meat of the Iowa schedule's in July, and I'm going to be in Scotland at the British Senior Amateur and the British Senior Open. So, with all the exemptions and things, I'm in the U.S. Amateur for 2 years. I'm in the U.S. Mid-Amateur for 2 years. The U.S. Senior Open this year. I'm through into sectional qualifying for the U.S. Open. So it's going to be a busy year just with USGA and RNA events. So it'll be an exciting year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm honored to play in all of those.
Gene, outside of the USGA stuff that you mentioned that you're exempt for, is there anything new or different that you're playing this year that maybe you haven't for a while, either, you know, nationally or internationally?
There's a tournament down in North Carolina called the National Senior Amateur Hall of Fame Tournament. Okay. I played in it, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, but they're actually putting me in their Hall of Fame this year. So I'm going to play that. And then actually the day that tournament ends that night, I'm flying to England and going to play the British Amateur against the young kids. One of the reasons is because it's at Lytham and I enjoy Lytham. It's not a bombers course where the kids would have a definite advantage. So I'm not sure if anybody's ever played in a British Amateur, U.S. Amateur, British Senior Amateur, U.S. Senior Amateur, British Senior Open, U.S. Senior Open, and the U.S. Mid-Amateur all in 1 year.
Right.
So I kind of made a little mini goal of
sure.
of playing all those in 1 year. So that's kind of the reason I'm going to stick the British Amateur in there and go over and play against the kids over there. So.
Well, Gene, but before I let you go, I just got a couple more questions. You'd mentioned previously, I think, to me that, you know, with your schedule, you're not going to be able to play at the state AM this year, which is at Crow Valley. and I meant to ask you this earlier, but what do you remember from Crow Valley from those early years and then now kind of when you've played it more recently?
Well, you know, Crow Valley is a second home to me and where I grew up. And, you know, the what's now the John Deere Classic, that started at Crow Valley. I remember being a little kid and following, my dad took me out there and Sam Snead was still playing the tour. I remember watching Sam Snead play the first three holes at Crow Valley and I got autographs, on the putting green from some of the pros. One of them was Ed Snead, who bogeyed the last, three holes at Augusta to lose the Masters in a playoff. I was anytime anything's at Crow Valley, I love to go back. I was fortunate enough to the senior amateur was there a few years ago and I won that at my old home course. And I am disappointed that I won't be able to play the state am there at Crow, but I'm sure everybody will enjoy it. And I just a lot of good memories there. The trees are, I was playing there when I was, 13, 14 years old, what was that, 45 years ago, so the trees have gotten a lot bigger.
Yeah, you used to be able to hit over that tree, now not so much.
Exactly. So, it's a nice test of golf, and I think everybody will enjoy it.
I think I know the answer to this question, Gene, but as far as equipment, are you one that likes to kind of tinker and kind of try, things here and there, from year to year? Or do you like to more of, you find something you like, you stick with it?
Yeah, I'm a pretty much stick with it guy, yeah. Except for maybe drivers.
Okay.
Drivers, I'll switch out. I'm playing the TaylorMade PSIs, which are 2015 model. And I'm on my second set of them. And I just bought another set on eBay.
Okay.
I'm trying to get as many sets of those as I can. I've tried the new stuff, the different models that have come out. And mm-hmm. I just like these and I don't like switching a lot. Okay. I'm kind of hoarding my Vokey wedges too. And trying to get, four or five of those so that as they wear out, I still got replacements for the same model, but I've been using the same putter since 2009. I don't switch a lot. I'll try it a little bit, sure. But I just, sure. they don't make the starting lineup very easily.
Final question, Gene, a week ago down at the state Capitol, pretty special, had a resolution both in the Senate and the House of Representatives, honoring you. Can you just talk about kind of what that meant to you, back here in Iowa?
I'm kind of speechless about it. It was, to have your state government recognize you for, I guess it's kind of like almost a lifetime achievement type thing. They were definitely talking about the two big wins last year, but the resolution also talked about contributions to golf and I always loved serving the IGA on the board or the committees or whatever. It's just a very unusual type of a recognition. You just don't expect anything like that. And very honored. It's a little awkward, the fact you can't say anything or right. do anything other than sure. stand there and smile. And,
that's right.
And very, very appreciative and honored. And I appreciate Clint, you being there and Chad being there. That was, I appreciated the support of the IGA with me there it's something I'll never ever forget and extremely humbled and honored.
Well, on behalf of the staff here, Gene, we can't say enough how much you've helped the IGA. We've talked about those early days of the IGA. It was kind of the wild, wild west there for a while, but we got things with the help of former executive director Bill Dickens and now Chad. I think we're in a pretty good spot, and you know, can't thank you enough for your guidance in those early days and also your support over the years.
Well, that's nice of you to say. And I just wanted the IGA just to be a nice, strong, supportive golf association that, you know, that did things, you know, right and ran tournaments correctly. And you know, for the younger kids coming up and you guys have done all the hard work and Bill Dickens and now Chad and Clint, I know you guys work your tail off and it is very much appreciated by the golfers in Iowa and a lot of them don't even know, but you know, the average, like on our handicap system golfer, but there was a lot of work done and a lot of sweat by a lot of you guys. And it's been a joy for me to contribute whatever I've done and really, really happy to where things are.
Well, I appreciate that, Gene. And again, thanks for coming on the podcast and we'll see you in probably a few months.
Sounds good, Clint. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care.